There's an identity of this message that sets us free. There's a trilogy of this message that sets us free. And there's an authority in this message that sets us free. And so let's look at the first of our three main points this morning. Talk about the identity of the message that saves us, that sets us free, that releases us from our sin problem. And I'd like for you to notice here that this message that sets us free, it's a message, go back to John chapter 1, that did not exist prior to the coming of Jesus in the flesh. John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there with me. I want you to begin by reading verse 14 in a moment. But I want you to think about this. The word truth, and if I can remember right, that this is pretty close, is found 110 times in your New Testament. 24 times just in the book of John. And in John's other writings, about another 32 times, 34 times, somewhere in there. So in other words, almost half of the time that you're going to find that word truth, it's going to be written by the Apostle John, who's the one that the Lord loved when he's here on this earth, basically his best friend. So the Lord's best friend on this earth, his writings are just filled. It's like he can't tell us enough about truth. Let me explain to you what truth is. As we think about the identity of the message that saves us, read verse 14. Now, this will be the second time we've really focused in on verse 14 through 17. And here in a few weeks, we're going to look at this again. I'm trying to overlap some things here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So here comes Jesus. You know, he's the one who's full of grace, full of truth. Now, many times when you see that word beheld or behold in your Bible, many times in the original language, it carries the idea of look with great investigation. But that's not how this word is used right here. The tense that's used here, it's basically saying, you know, we couldn't take our eyes off him. You know, we were staring at him, we were gazing at him, and we just couldn't take our eyes off him. Now here's somebody that's, you know, no one has ever been on this earth like him. Here's someone like mankind had never seen before. You know him to be the only begotten of the Father, Jesus. And this is the one they couldn't take their eyes off of, and he's the one who's full of mercy and love and kindness, and they couldn't take their eyes off of him because he was, and the word there in the Greek was overflowing with. It's the idea of overflowing with grace, mercy, grace, and truth. Now look at verse 17. You see it there? Read it with me. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now the verbs in this verse tell us something very important here. The law was given, but grace came. Right? So this passage here is saying something was brought into existence. Something was given birth. Something came to be that didn't exist before that. Right, through the agency of Jesus Christ here, you know, you boil that down, it means that specifically Jesus is the one responsible with this message, which is truth, that sets us free. Now, start putting this all together here as you consider this identity of the message that sets us free. It's not part of the Old Testament, right? Ephesians 2nd chapter tells us it was abolished. Colossians 2nd chapter tells us it was taken away. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, he came to fulfill it. Jesus did away with the old law. This message that sets us free. Listen, friends or brethren, it's not a message that says thou shalt not covet or thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal. You know, that was part of the old covenant. We actually have a higher standard. We're called to a higher standard than that. The old law, including the Ten Commandments, was done away with. It fulfilled its purpose. We have a higher calling today. You see that in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 17. But here in verse 17, John chapter 1, we read, for the law, that's the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, was given. Given here means gifted, by the way. It was gifted to the Hebrew people. It was all done through the agency of Moses, but truth came into existence through the agency of Jesus Christ. So the message that sets you free today, right, did not exist prior to Jesus Christ coming to this earth. Right, and the message that sets us free today will not be found in the Old Testament. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit had Paul write what he wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it is the power of God unto salvation. I want you to note here, this third final observation in this point, as he considered the identity of the message that sets us free. Remember, number one, it didn't exist prior to the coming of Jesus. It's not part of the Old Testament. And number three here, this message that sets us free does not come from mankind. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it is not in man to direct his own steps. Now, if there's ever a message this current generation needs to hear and understand, right there. Right? So under the banner of humanism for the past 50-plus years, we've been told over and over again and told our children over and over again, it's all about you. You're special. Right? To thine own heart be true. Right? Do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever makes you feel special. It's all about you. That's humanism. All the philosophies of mankind, you know, they've grabbed the hearts of many people. And us older folks, I guess I'm an older folk now, we're just as susceptible. We think it's all about us. What makes me comfortable? Right? You know, I'll be faithful as long as I'm comfortable. Take away that comfort, you know, I might take a step back. Right? That's church consumerism. I'll go to that church as long as they do what I want and it makes me feel comfortable and they tell me what I want to hear. You start to take that away, well, then I don't know. I don't think I'd be a part of that. This message that sets you free, it does not come from you. It does not come from me. It does not come from any man. And we have to understand that. It's absolutely critical that we understand that. This message that sets us free, it doesn't come from man, and it cannot be of human origin. Because if it was, there'd be no power in it to save. Now, we have free will. We could choose to adhere to this standard, this message that saves us. So you can... you can adhere to it or you can turn your back on it. You can live the life that you want to live this side of eternity. But understand this. It does not come from your desires. It's not about what you want. It's not about making you happy. It's about God allowing you to be holy in His eyes. So the message that sets us free, it didn't exist prior to Christ. You're not going to find it in the Old Testament. And its origin is not from man. Number two, this morning, let's talk about the trilogy of truth. You know, man didn't wake up one morning and have a message in front of him. And, you know, it just didn't appear out of nowhere like the morning newspaper. Right? This message that sets us free has come to man in phases of information. And there's three phases of revelation of God's will to mankind. And we're not talking about the three distinct dispositions of time, by the way, and how God has dealt with man throughout the ages. Of course, you know, like Abraham, the patriarchal ages dealt with the head of the family, and then the law of Moses to the Hebrew people, and then the new covenant in Christ. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this, rather. I want you to look with me in John chapter 1 again. Three phases. Phase number one, the message that sets us free, has been presented to us by, first here, the incarnation of Jesus. And we read part of this earlier. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared to him. Right now, that's the verse that directly flows from the verse 17 that we just talked about. Right? Truth came through the agency of Jesus. Right? If you want to know truth about God, study Jesus. Right? Study about Him becoming flesh, dwelling among mankind. Right? The only begotten of the Father, and He brought truth, verse 17. And then you go on, He's saying, who is in the bosom of the Father? Right? He's the one whom the Father has made known or declared in verse 18. You want to know about your Heavenly Father? Well, study the life of Jesus. Jesus said, my Father and I are one. But I want you to notice this here. Jump over to John chapter 17. I'm sorry, John chapter 7. So the truth that sets us free from God, the will of God for our lives, going on to phase two here, the message that sets us free has been presented, right, by the instruction of Jesus. You can know the will for you from God, God's will in your life, by watching how Jesus lived, His incarnation, and also His instruction here. You know, you listen to what Jesus says. Read this with me, chapter 7 and verse 16, book of John. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. So this terminology here in the original language, it's very emphatic. Right? Jesus says, this doctrine or teaching of mine is not of me, but of Him who sent me. In other words, look at this. What He's saying here. Jesus was speaking the revealed will of God. So that, number one, you could see God in His lifestyle, but also, number two here, you could see God's will in the very words of Jesus. John, the 12th chapter. John chapter 12, I want you to note this here. And the language of the New Testament, again, here is very, it's highly emphatic. Right, and He's going to repeat some words here to give it some exclamation, right? And this is seen in the use of doubling up of the pronouns I and me here. Read it with me, chapter 12, John, verses 48 through 50. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So what He's telling us here is that I want you to know that this message that sets us free can be seen in the life that I live and in the very teachings that I give to you from the Father. Can you see that? See how important that is? In this third phase here, so you have the incarnation of Jesus, the instruction, and then now the inspiration as part of that truth that sets us free. Right? And so he's going to go back to heaven here in John 16. Turn your Bibles there. And He's going to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, with an inspired message that can be read, that can be understood, and that can be followed here. So John, the 16th chapter, verses 13 and 14, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, Jesus said here concerning what he speaks, the same with the Holy Spirit, right? He's also not going to speak on his own authority. Jesus is speaking to his apostles here, and he tells them, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, you tell others that. Right? Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, it's me telling him to tell you to tell others. Notice the chain of authority there. So whenever you pick up the book of Acts, in other words, and you read Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, right? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's like Jesus standing there in front of you telling you that with his own mouth. Or if you read Galatians 6 and verse 2, to bear one another's burdens, that's the same as Jesus standing in front of you and saying, I want you to bear one another's burdens. That wasn't just Paul's opinion. Say, that's like me standing in front of you telling you those things. You know, when we read in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. That's like him standing in front of me and saying, Sean, when the saints get together, you need to be there. That's the authority of the message here. That's what we're talking about. So if you want to know the truth, the message that sets you free, you know, I study about the incarnation of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, if I want to learn about the life that he lived and learn by that instruction, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If I want to study the inspiration of Jesus, I can look at the book of Acts through Revelation. Learn how to live out my redemption as a child of God. What's that going to result in when I do that, when I accept that? Well, it's a message that will set me free. I'd like you to consider here this morning, notice what we've been talking about so far. There's a body of truth in existence right now, this morning. There's a body of truth that will release you from your sins. And listen, it didn't exist before Jesus came into this world. You're not going to find it in the Old Testament. No man can be the source of it. It's not going to come from your personal leanings, your background, your personal baggage, your previously held belief system. It's not going to come from other men, previous heritage or desires. But the message of the truth that will release you from your past, your sins, it's a message that can be found in the way that Jesus lived and what he said, and what Jesus inspired his penmen, his apostles and his prophets, to write down the New Testament. So that you can go to it, you can believe it, you can respond to it, and you can know that it's true, and it will release you from your past sins. And then third and finally this morning, I want to talk about the authority of truth. All right, so we've talked about the identity of truth, the trilogy of truth. Number three, finally here, I want you to think about the authority of truth. You know, when we look at each phase of God's will when it comes to man, whether it's come in incarnation, you know, of how Jesus lived, his instructions, what he said, or his inspiration, what he revealed, each phase of the truth here that's been revealed, its authority. Go over to 1 Peter, the second chapter, if you would. So you start to put it all together. You know, therefore, the way that Jesus lived is the way that I'm supposed to conduct my life. All right, Philippians 2 and verse 5. Have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. And what he has the Holy Spirit tell the apostles, right? Like Paul, for example. right? There in Philippians 2 and verse 5. Right? This is the way that Jesus lived and thought and acted. So this is the way that you need to live and think and act. 1 Peter, the second chapter in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Now the word there for example is a compound word in the original language, hupogrammos. Hupo's under, grammos is writing. So underwriter, you know what an underwriter is, right? You ever get insurance? There's an underwriter there. So it's carrying the idea of an original writing to copy after, the idea of tracing the original. In other words, you walk the way that he walked, you talk the way that he talked, you act the way that he acted. Right? His lifestyle, his words teach they serve as a pattern for us. They serve as the authority by which we live. We must see that the very message that Jesus spoke is absolutely authoritative. Remember what Jesus said right before he left this world, the Great Commission? Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 28, "All has been given to me authority," right? All authority has been given to me. Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus is telling us here, my instruction, that's authoritative. Right? The incarnation of his life, authoritative. Right? The instructions from his mouth, authoritative. The inspiration of the Scripture, authoritative. Revealing God's will for you, that message that sets you free, that's God's will for you. And you can find that. You know, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the pen of Paul, would write words like, don't go beyond what is written, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Let's finish up where we started here. In John, the 8th chapter. Look at this with me one last time here. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. And let me ask you a question. It might sound like a silly question, but I think it really gets the point across. How many legs would a sheep have if he called its tail a leg? Well, some people might be tempted to say five. No. She only has four legs. It doesn't matter what you call the tail. We need to see in the New Testament that we have a message. If we are to make an impact for the Lord in 2022, looking out, you know, it doesn't make any difference how you want to live. You know, what you want to say about life, what culture has to say about life. What we have here is a message that teaches us God's will. It has authority in your life. It is the only answer to your sin problem. Listen, this message here, it will not change. It absolutely will not change, and that's good news. It's a message that did not exist before Jesus came to this world. It's a message that will not be found in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament's great. We learn a lot, right? We learn about the character of God, and we see that the Old Testament was the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament's the Old Testament revealed. It's a message that cannot and will not come from you or me or any other man. This message that releases us from our past sins, it's a message that can be found in the way that Jesus lived and what he said and what he revealed. I want you to see this last thing here in the lesson is yours. If you want to grow in the grace that saves you, it begins with that truth right there. And so Jesus tells us this wonderful truth here in verses 31 and 32. There's a message that will set you free. But then in verse 33, some of those who heard these words, they said, we've never been in bondage. We're not in bondage. And to that, Jesus replies, verse 34 and following, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that you are not free. Jesus says, in fact, you're still a slave to sin. The good news is, you're here right now, you're alive, you have the opportunity to be free from the slavery to that sin. And what you need to do is respond to the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. You reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in baptism as a believing adult. Romans 6, 3 and 4. You do that because you're convicted of the sin in your life. The blood of Jesus, you understand now, is the only answer to that. So you're willing to repent of those sins and be baptized. Acts 2 and verse 38. If that's a call for you this morning, please respond to that while you have a chance. If you've done that in the past and along the way you lost your way and you've allowed the world or maybe humanism or the culture to pull you away to a lifestyle of sin, will you come back home this morning? Can we help you with that? Please let somebody know as we stand and as we sing.